Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RDM podcast. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Today, I'm excited to host musicians, one who is starting out in the industry and the other who has been very experienced. On my right, we have Kupi Blai.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Gospel artist, one who's been there, done it, seen it. We're just so happy to have you, and whatever it is you're going to share with us, I'm sure people are going to be very blessed to hear from you.
Glory be to God. I hope they are.
And on my left is Nandra, the soul queen or the soul princess. So whatever you want to call yourself, she's just very brand new in the music industry.
Very fresh.
But we have two sides that I feel are going to feed into this. Eh?
Okay.
And then we have my host, Afimani Moneybags McLean. Afimani, you're very welcome.
Thank you, man. Good to be here as well.
The conversation is going to flow as it always does.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to start out with the question. I'll start with Kupi. Since you've been in the music industry for years, briefly, how did your story begin?
Yeah. Well, and I usually say it's like I just gambled into it. I have always loved music from when I was a kid. I later on got to learn my parents were musicians. My dad still sings in a choir now. It's called Heaven Bound Choir. Golden Harp. Heaven Bound is the church. Golden Harp Choir.
All right.
Yeah, but it's they belong to that type of the vocal choirs, you know, that style of music. So, me growing up, I actually discovered, I used to sing in Sunday school, and I led a few, you know, the special songs and stuff. But in my P4, around P4, P5, I was a scout, and I became the troop leader. So when we went out camping, I used to lead the campfire songs and stuff. And, you know, people say, oh, yeah, you know, you're good. And meanwhile, I was at St. Savio Junior School by this time. And I you know, you keep trying out to see where you belong. Are you a footballer? Are you a basketballer? You know? And I won't say I was very bad at other things.
Yeah, you're good at football?
Yeah, not very bad.
Okay. What number would you play?
I used to play number 3, actually.
Oh, so you're a defender?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I realized people, the music made, I stood out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a mediocre at these other things, but in music I was standing out. So, and it was all pointed out at the scouting camps. So when I remember when we got back to school, I had, for some other reasons, refused to join the school choir because of, you know, when you're in like boarding schools, the choir used to train in the time we had to have what they used to call our sports time. So like the time you have to go and play soccer, and now for them they had to go, and I was like, there's no way I'm missing my sports time for this. So I had totally refused to join the choir. But when I came back from the scouting trips, I said, you know what, let me give it a chance and a try. And I went in and I realized I was good. I was already very good at playing drums. So I picked it up from then, and I've never looked back, I would say. Around my P7 vacation, I recorded my first song at Dream Studios. Dream Studios was one of the biggest studios back then.
Yes.
So by that time, my dad had left for UK for J. And my mom, both of them had left, actually, because there is no way they would have allowed me to do music if they were both around. So I started doing it underground, because I didn't want them to know. You get it? I come from a very humble background. So, and back then, parents were not very enthusiastic about letting their kids become musicians or anything. We didn't have good examples back then. So everybody thought once you join music, you're basically getting spoiled. So I had to keep it on the low so they don't find out. The passion was so much. I loved it so much.
So when did you do your first song?
Yeah, 2002.
That's 2002.
Yeah.
What's the name?
The first one was called Shiny Money. I ended up doing it like 3 times. So I did it. And when I got to school, to my secondary school, that was secondary school in Chitovu, it stood out. Back then, of course, not many kids had, you know, like recorded songs. So it stood out. And I think in my S2, I had some friends who were in higher classes, like S4. And one of them asked me to do a remix to that song. So he actually passed away. He was called Romanica. So we went with him back to Dream Studios and we did a remix to Shiny Money. Mm. He was a rapper. And after that, in my S3, I did a song called Glorify, I think. Glorify. Yeah, and yeah.
Okay, so that was the transition of how you began and went into music. What about you, Sandra? You're just beginning, yes. You're just beginning. But at what point did you realize that you want to be a musician?
Personally, I realized I wanted to be a musician when I was throughout school. I always told people, yeah, I already know my future. I don't know even what I'm doing here. Like, I kept on telling people I'm really wasting time in school. But so I kept on telling them I'm going to be a musician. But then in when I went to university at campus, I started recording. But that song will never see the light of day.
Why? What's the name of the song?
It cannot see the light of day. In fact, I have that CD kept like as if it's a it's a trophy.
So in a Pandora.
You're hiding your song as well, eh?
Because
I'm not trying so much to hide, but you can't get it as well.
Okay. Because the production was the voice was but the passion was coming
was there?
Through,
mm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's when I started recording at university, but then just like Kupi Blai, we've grown up with parents who are like, yo, bad degree. Give me my degree. So you're thinking, man, let me first finish this degree, give it to my mom, then I actually pursue the music thing. So I actually took long to pursue the music because I recorded that song and then I slept on the music until when I finished school. Then that's when I actually joined choir and then, yeah. That's how
before I bring in Maki, I noticed, so you're Nandra and you're Kupi Blai.
Yeah.
How do you come up with these names and what are your real names? Okay.
I always tell people Kupi Blai is still my real name. But my birth name is Akusasira Emmanuel Edwin Selwanga. So just trying to also have pity on the MCs. No MC will spend his much time. Just give it up for Kusasira Emmanuel Edwin Selwanga, you know. So you try and find some, but mine actually are two Patwa words. Kupi Blai. So the name basically translates to miraculous chance or miraculous favor.
Okay, Kupi Blai. Miraculous favor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very interesting.
Sure,
big testimony.
Yeah. I don't think anyone calls you by your other name anymore.
Not many. So I have a nickname. They used to call me in the ghetto. So if somebody calls me that name,
you know they're ghetto guys.
I just know they know me
they
before.
Know so you
can you tell us the name?
Before they come out.
It's only a reserve for the ghetto people.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then people. My dad calls me Edwin. Yeah.
Okay.
He's I've never had him call.
Parents always jammed.
And people I went to school with, some people called me Emma. Very, very, very few people called me Selwanga. You may have to call me like 1,000 times before I reply to that. I'm not used to that name as well. So, but most people, of course.
Kupi. Okay. And what about you?
I mean, there's no science there, man. First of all, I'm called Sandra, and then the name is Jariogera. I won't speak. So I took the N
from the other
my of my surname and then removed the S from Sandra and just put the N.
Some creativity.
That's how Nandra came about.
People lie means
I know. I don't want to lie to people. What Nandra means.
Like yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, listening to Kupi Blight, because I know you. You don't know me, but I know you. There are a couple of people in this room who know you like me.
All
right. We actually grew up dancing to your music.
Ah, glory to God.
And I remember the first time we heard about you, I was actually with him, Gilbert, yeah. The guy behind on the cameras.
Yeah.
I remember that time we were also doing dance ministry.
Yeah.
And we had been invited to minister at, by then it was called KPC North, which is now Watoto North.
Yeah.
And that's when you just released one of your songs, which now is Under Law. You know, and it was your hit song.
Just mention that song.
Okay, it's when you just released
Buaka,
right? In 2010.
Yeah.
It's when you just released Buaka, 2010.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this is because there's so many people who have listened to your music, they've jumped to your music, yeah. They've grown up yeah. with your music, they've yeah. been inspired by your music, but they don't know some of those songs and they don't know that you're yeah. actually the voice behind those names.
Yeah.
Okay, so just before I let you, you know, just share with people a few of the songs and the inspiration yeah. behind some of them. I'll just give you one, for example. Way about it. I don't know what yeah. you were thinking when you wrote that song. Yeah. But for me personally, I had that song on my favorite. Yeah. You understand? I used to listen to it all the time because yeah. it was a testimonial kind of song, right? Yeah. So in part of the lyrics in the song, he says, I was complaining about not having shoes. Until I walked out on the street and I found a guy who doesn't have legs. And that's when it hit me. Wait a minute. Your issues are smaller, man. You need to be grateful.
Yeah.
You know, like Weberly. So I was like, that's nice, man. You know, and it's content poetic. Like that. Yes. Yeah. I liked the poetry in that exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's content like that. That got us hooked to people like you.
Yeah.
You understand? And so if you could just share with people just some of those songs that for you, you felt like they also put you out there, but people usually resonate a lot with because it spoke a lot to their lives.
Well, first of all, thank you. You must have been
a real fan.
A real fan following from back then, yeah. So, yeah, definitely the song that we say kicked the door. Oluwakubakaji was Buaka. Yeah. And it was talking about so many vices in the community back then. Homosexuality, corruption.
Yeah,
and so many other things. So that kicked it for me. That was the breakthrough song for me. That was 2010 at the university. I usually like to give this as a testimony that people don't realize that I recorded my first song in 2002, and I had my breakthrough 2010.
Yeah, so 8 years later.
Yeah, so and I went and I was recording.
So you had songs in between that time?
I had so many more songs that, you know, people didn't get to. Waka actually became my first song and some of the other songs like Kulunga came. I had recorded them earlier, but they hadn't gotten airplay. So after Buaka, people are now asking down. And I remember I used to take my music to some stations, and they never used to play. By then, we used to have CDs. So I remember one station actually had a stack of my CDs. So after Buaka became a big hit, they went through the stack, and before you know,
started
they're like,
dusting
oh,
it off.
No, by the way, he has a new one called Kulunga, and you're like, yeah, that one
is still there before.
So yeah. Basically, Buaka, Nyweza, Sidam Chalo.
Oh, Nyweza was good, my man.
Yeah.
Nyweza was good.
So, and it like you kept asking me that question, and I kept telling you like the reason I don't have a favorite song is because by the time I'm releasing that song, by the time I'm putting that song, or by the time I'm writing that song, that is my favorite song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Makes
sense.
My music is very self inspired. And, you know, just the hustles, the daily hustles. So by the time you write a song about Nyweza, you are going through a situation.
That situation there.
Eh? You understand?
So you are going through something. Yeah.
Some deep temptations.
Yeah, I was at campus by then. And, you know, Buaka had now kind of come out. And, you know, you start getting all the attention you never used to get before. And you start realizing all, you know, sometimes we keep telling people, some people are strong because they haven't yet been tempted. So you don't think you are steady just because you haven't been tried yet.
Yeah.
Once you get tried, that's when you realize
yeah, when Samson hasn't met Delilah.
He thinks he's steady. Until you meet Delilah and you're like, hey, man, how did I survive up to this time? So Nyweza was that song. And Sida Mchalo, of course, same story. Now, I had these two. By this time now, I had started getting a lot of like attention from everywhere. I'm performing in churches. We perform in clubs. I had lots of friends who were secular artists. And now, then, that's when those lines start coming. You know, you'd be making a lot of money if you're a secular artist. You know, you would be making, you would be way bigger if you did this. You know, and it's true. You see some of your friends that were, you probably even were in the industry before them, and they come, one song for you, you have like three big songs, and for them, they have one big song, and their life has changed around. They're already driving, they have moved houses, you know? So, and they're like, man, you're wasting your talent. So that's when Sida Mchalo came in. The whole song.
It was powerful. Nice. I love that.
It was about, like, you know, saying, I know the whole hustle. I know I'm not where I want to be. But
you're not going to compromise.
I'm not going to compromise just because I want to be where you are.
Actually, let's pause on there because we're going to touch on compromise. Yeah. That's come on. Eh?
Yeah.
But you, how many songs have you released, Sandra? Because the last time we've hosted you here before,
yes.
And your signature is love.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And how many songs have you released, and what's your inspiration behind them?
I've so far released two.
Mm.
There's one that I'm about to release that is my favorite now. Like when you're in studio, that one song that you're working on is your baby. Like I've been even listening to it right now like 1,000 times. I'm like, man, this song is killer. Then I have to remind myself that there are other songs. But yeah, I've only released two so far. And my inspiration is that I love love. But
I love love.
Yeah.
I like that.
He's always like, "Negwe, I gotta love." What do you say? No, but yeah, I love love. And when I'm singing about love, for me, it's there is no greater feeling. There is no greater thing that God has ever created, because God Himself is love. Yeah. Mm. When I've been recording this song that I'm about to release, there's a part where I sang and I felt like, personally, I need my man to come, like, now.
Your man.
My man, I don't know why my man is taking long.
You started tearing.
I'm like, yo, this is so deep, man. Yeah. I am like, yeah, like, I feel like that feeling of being loved and to love is the best thing that has ever happened to mankind. It may come off as a cliche of like, this one is just like a romantic. She just doesn't like deep things. But it's just my...
But I noticed one thing.
Yeah.
Your kind of music is different in the sense that he presents himself, Kupi Bly presents himself directly as a gospel artist.
Yes.
But you don't present yourself as that, even though you're born again Christian.
Yeah.
And how do you handle that? How?
Personally, How do I say this? I don't really want to come off as a gospel artist when it comes to my me as an artist. Yeah. Because already I'm in a band called Joseph Generation where we sing gospel music. Yeah. But then as an individual artist, I wanted the world to embrace. I didn't want to pick a section of gospel music, yeah? I wanted the whole world to embrace everything that I am, yeah? Because there's a time when we actually dissect and everyone puts you in a box that you're a gospel artist. So what about the world? So I feel like we had to get out of the four walls. Yeah, and go out into the world. That is why I've even not yet taken my music to the gospel stations, because I don't want to be classified as a gospel artist, because I feel like there is more to us as gospel artists that we have to offer the world. Because you see, I sing about love, but it's also easy for the people to be like, no, she's a gospel artist, or you're to wafe, but no.
Okay.
No, we are to the world, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Nice. Okay, so talking about this and what Kupi has just said, I want to pick your minds on your creative process, okay, and how you choose the way you're going to present the lyrics, okay? For example, like he has said, you are a gospel artist.
Yeah.
You present yourself that way.
Yeah.
You like to be associated and recognized in that capacity.
Yeah.
But for somebody who pays attention to your lyrics, yeah, it's not like as though you're quoting scripture,
yeah,
through your lyrics.
Yeah.
You understand? But if you're smart enough and you know the gospel, you will know that he's speaking, his inspiration is coming from the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, for example, this song you released last year, No Touching.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually just telling,
yeah,
the guys,
yeah,
that particular song, if you listen to it, of course, yeah, it's like a jam, it's nice, it's the,
yeah,
tune, but I get the message behind it.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You're not going to conform and, you know, start sleeping around and having sex,
yeah,
and giving in before marriage. But no scripture quoted.
Yeah.
You understand?
But the
and which
is clear.
Yeah, but the message is clear, which,
yeah,
is also what you're saying. So I just,
yeah,
want to understand, in your creative process, how does that work, or how do you do that?
Well, for me, I don't know. I did arts in school,
mm,
so history, I did literature, and the literature, of course, helps. I realize sometimes serving a message is one thing,
mm,
but the delivery, the way you deliver the message,
mm,
is another. It can either put people off to even listen to the message,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, there are some few things or messages that you end up listening to, not because you actually want to listen to the message, but just the way it's been delivered.
Mm.
And to me, that has always been my. I remember when I was growing up, I listened to Papa San a lot, and,
mm,
yeah,
and one time, yeah, he was being interviewed, and he said, "You know, that's the thing. Jesus Christ, was like he was a fisher of men.
Mm.
Called,
yeah,
us to be fishers of men.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't give us a particular hook."
Come on.
You can use a net, you can use whatever. The end goal is
just fish the man.
Yeah,
you get, you've gotten
the
there.
Yeah.
So, and to me, my background, my background, I grew up in the ghettos. So my mindset, every time I'm writing a song, I'm writing to me. That's
mm.
why I say, like, my music is very self-inspired. And that's why, like you said, it will take you some time to realize. I actually
mm-hmm.
have very few songs where you can tell from, like, the first chorus. Or if you listen to most of my choruses, you may not even tell
mm-hmm.
it's gospel music.
True, true.
Mm. Mm.
Because of, to me, I used it as a hook.
Yeah.
I knew growing up in the ghettos, gospel music is not something that is very marketable down there.
Mm.
You know? So we know the beats are some of the things that hook the people to listen
yes.
to the music.
Yeah.
The language, the lingo,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm.
and then like the art in which you deliver the message.
Mm.
If you listen to most of my songs, even Bwaka, even Nyweza, even Sedam Chalo, I actually had some hassles with some radios and Christian TVs accepting those songs because
they weren't sure they were Christian.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because by the time I deliver the message, by the time you start hearing some scriptures or some, it's towards the end of the song.
Mm.
But to me, my idea is you're already hooked. You can't turn it off.
Yeah.
When the song is starting off, and like let's take an example here. Let's say we are Christians and we do not like agree or believe in is it called voodoo?
Mm.
Or
mm-hmm. Witchcraft. Yeah.
Witchcraft. So if somebody was here and put on a podcast and you start hearing them, you, as a Christian, you would...
Somatically, yeah.
Before you
yeah.
even know what is singing about or what... You get what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
So, and to me, like, that's why, like, that thing came in of Papa San. Like,
mm.
God didn't give us a particular hook.
Yeah.
He called us to fishmen.
Everywhere possible.
So use whatever you... I know I'm artistic. I know I can put a few lines together, and by at the end, somebody's like, ah! So, you know, so I knew that was my hook. Yeah. So that's what I used. And in a way, I believe by then, somebody's already too hooked to even... It's just like a fish, when you're hooking a fish.
What's already hooked?
You don't put the hook very elaborate. They are saying if you test me, you are gone. You know, put some worms and you know and
it won't go.
It feels like it's invisible.
Yeah.
By the time sometimes the fish doesn't even realize it is hooked till it is up on the boat.
Yeah.
And that's for me, that's how I believed. And when I'm writing music, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of myself back then. How would I get hooked?
Yeah.
What type of message would I, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was very deliberate in being very, very relatable with the current situations.
Mm.
You know, whatever is, that's why I said the lingo is very, very.
But I noticed how do you
nice.
Because Sandra is coming up, and this is, I think, also hearing this from Kupi Bly, we hope. But how, because at times you had just started that story where you were saying that some would want you to compromise. Eh?
Yeah.
How have you told your line? Because the reason why I love you as a musician, you've remained a gospel musician, not just by name, but in character, in your music as well. You've told the line, and that's something that's not so easy for people. How have you done it? How have you maintained your line?
Every time somebody says that, it really humbles me a lot. Because I probably know myself better than all of you. So you haven't seen me slap somebody on TV. But you don't know what is inside my heart.
The struggle is real.
If only. Yeah. So anyway, but it's by the grace.
By the grace.
Definitely by the grace. When my parents found out, and this is something... I haven't mentioned so many times, but when my parents found out I was doing music, my mom sat me down and she explained to me the dangers of doing music. And she actually said, in particular, gospel music. You know, she went through the whole story of how, you know, Satan was the biggest musician in heaven, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, that's what you see in the world right now. Every bad habit, every bad thing that comes to the world,
music
is through music.
Yeah.
And there are so many other things. There are sportsmen, there are blah, 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 but music. Mm. Music has a power that, you know, supersedes all these other powers. So she was like, you have to be very careful when you choose to do gospel music. You have to pray, like, I don't know, 1,000 times more than you are praying before, because by you doing gospel music is you painting a target on your back. This guy has been there chilling. He doesn't mind you. But now, she said a few things. She says, Satan knows what is awaiting you because he has been there. He knows the power that your music has because he knew when he was doing music. He knows the reach because he, you know. So she's like, of all people, this guy targets most. It's musicians. And she's like, if you think you've been having temptations or you've been having hardships,
wait till
Sandro Ulira.
You know? Better brace yourself because now he's coming up, like, you know, all guns.
So you've had some temptations in your way.
Yeah. So to me, I believe because of that earlier on knowledge, you know, and understanding, I have been, I don't see things just as the world sees them. When something happens, I know, like, the compromise. There is so much temptation for compromising. And it's actually not temptation anymore. It is like a pure strategy by the world and the devil. You know, they are basically...
They've drawn the lines, yes.
You know, you have, for you to get here, you have to do this. And they know as a Christian artist, you're not going to be able to do that. So most people that don't have either this prior knowledge or understanding, they just say, well, anyway, now you see even the other one. And you go for it. But for me, like, I try to keep, I try to watch out more. And I every time I, like I said, I don't say this much, but when people say, oh, you know, you've been standing, the Bible says for those of you that think you are standing straight, you know, watch out so you don't fall. Because if you're standing, the person knows you are still standing.
Yeah.
So he's still coming.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I keep trying. That's why I said, like, it's by the grace. Because to be frank, some of the things, you have no human control over them. You know? It takes just that knowledge and understanding, knowing that it's not just music. It's not just, you know, life moving on. There is a repercussion for everything. There is an end goal for every single step.
Okay. But what are your values? Because you're starting out and he's telling you there are strategies the enemy has placed within the confines of the music industry.
Yeah.
What are your values and have you developed them yet? And what are you willing to do to stay within the lines?
First of all, I have to know who I am, as a person, as a Christian, because it's very tempting. You see, now the fact that now for me I'm not labeling myself as a gospel artist, but I come off as she sings about love and so it might come off like she's just singing for all of us and all. So sometimes the lines are blur for some people, but I know my lines. I know where I draw the line. Like, even last time when I was here, I told you that I was doing a photo shoot. And there's some things that are like, I think this will appeal to people since because you're doing this kind of music. But then I'm like, no, I know where my line is, yeah? I know how I'm supposed to look. Mm. I know the image that I want to give to people. I love Kupi's line of, he never gave us a hook, he like, you use whatever, the net or whatever you want to use, as long as you're fishing. So, personally, I feel like I want the gospel to be felt in the words than of course, the label of a gospel artist. So, I'm going to keep my values, and then you will get to know the message after, just like Kupi Blair has said. So, I feel like you draw the line yourself, because the temptation is real. The temptation of being a girl itself.
Yeah. Yes.
As in, you're a girl, then you have to do this. Like, there's so many things. Because personally, it's not like I have a label or a manager who's doing things. I'm doing everything by myself. So it gets hard. So if you don't set rules and boundaries within yourself, you're doomed to get all these temptations around you, like, oh my God, me, I can do this for you, but at a price.
You know, the reason I asked that question is because, and Maki will come in after, is because, man, I'm meeting a lot of Christians who say, you know, by dominion by all means possible.
I heard
that statement. You know, God sent us, Jesus sent us, so if it means doing things the way the world does them, then, you know, we're going to have to go down that route. Maki?
Yeah, just in line with that. Like for Kupi, because for now we're just yet, you know, touching on your music and stuff like that, and would like to go much deeper, you know, talk about your personalities, the things, you know, your gifting, you know, and how you honed that and stuff like that, other things that help to build that. But with all of this said, what is your support system? You know, what's do you have people around you? Do you keep a certain kind of people around you? Do you, you know, like when times are hard or when you get certain things where you need to question yourself and you feel like, man, you know, like I've really, because I can understand, I know what you're saying. Back then, and Gilbert can remember this, even when we're still doing dance ministry, I tried a stint at music as well.
Yeah.
And I remember that time we would take our CDs also to the radio stations and stuff like that, and they would never take it because it's gospel. Yeah. Basically meaning you turn the other cheek a beat or something like that, and then you can become acceptable.
Yeah.
You understand? But then for you who has been in that field all this time, with all these songs and all the awards and the attention that you're getting, I'm sure you've had people approach you with certain offers, you know, with certain ideologies for you to front, for you to be an ambassador for certain values which you don't stand for. Yeah. What's your support structure?
So, I usually want to give credit to my parents, my family.
Mm.
My dad is a pastor. He wasn't a pastor when I started music.
Mm.
He was ordained way much later. But we've always grown up in a strict Christian background.
Mm.
And my parents were really open. And I've seen us, like, I'm the firstborn. We only two kids, me and my sister. So I've seen us hustle through the ghettos.
Mm.
So when my dad sits and tells you something, no, we are what we are mainly because of the grace, and you know, I know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I know the hustle, like, you know. So I want to say, first of all, I had that background of parents who could sit me down and talk to me. The other thing is, I'm very peculiar with the friends I make these days. Mm. Back, you know, growing up in the slums, it's I always tell people, like, one of the things when we were leaving the ghettos, we used to live in Katwe, and we went to live in Rubaga. The biggest thing I was very worried about was having a perimeter wall.
Mm.
Like, for some reason, people who haven't grown up in the slums would understand, but to me, I felt like we were in a prison. In the slums, you would go play with whoever, just, you know. Now, you have Olagawa. Where are you going? Lock the gate. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think I'd been lucky that by the time we moved to this life, I had grown up with a free world. And I don't know. That's why I keep saying, like, it's the grace. For some reason, I had learned how to limit myself, to know.
You know the boundaries.
Not to follow the peer pressure. And that is really hard. That is like the biggest thing. Also, when you're still a kid. When you grow up to a certain age, it's much easier. But before, when you want to fit in, you just do whatever, what everybody does, you know? And I want to say, bless the Lord, for he gave me that courage to be able to know, well, yes, 99 people are doing that. I'm the only one not doing it, but I know what they're doing is wrong, so I don't follow the numbers.
Mm.
And sometimes it's also good to take a step back. You may not have the answers. Like I usually tell people, you may know that this is not letter A, but because of the shape of the letter, you don't know what letter it is, but you know it is not A, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I know that is, and people are saying, no, this is A, this is, and you're like, no, it's not A. So what is it? Like, I don't know, but it is not
A.
So sometimes I know I don't have the right answer, or I don't have everything sorted out, but I know that it's not the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, it's, people should normalize the taking a step back and maybe waiting for you to learn and read more, so you know which letter it is. You know, like in the Luganda alphabet, there is that letter. It's called Nga.
Nga, yeah.
It's not in the English alphabet. So if somebody pointed that out to you and they say this is G, because it looks like most people call it G, say no, this is not G.
This is Nga.
So what is it? Now you're explaining to a Muzungu, they will not understand what it is. So you just say, it's not G.
Just know,
so
it's not G.
In life, some of those things happen. Yeah. The compromising situations are so many, but when you have had this background of knowing, and to me, like I call it being blessed by a burden of knowledge.
Mm.
And that's why I count myself lucky, because the knowledge I have, maybe because of the upbringing, because of, I grew up with both my parents who are Christians, who are loving, who are, you know, some of the guys who grew up didn't have that opportunity.
Mm.
So they do not have, they didn't have the access to the knowledge, to the understanding that I do, that I do possess.
And you know, most people don't know something about you that you told me, we shared when we were talking. Yeah. And you said you actually went to a discipleship class.
Yeah.
For 1 year, was it?
Yeah. But that was way later.
Way later.
And still the thing that pushed me there was because of that, like
that like foundation.
Where I reached a time and I was asking myself questions and I didn't have answers.
Mm.
And I'm realizing, you know, I'm now becoming more popular. I'm becoming more. I'm like commanding a lot of influence.
Yeah.
Mm. But I'm not very sure about what I am actually.
You're rooting.
Commanding. Yes. You know. So I start questioning. What if I'm? One of the biggest things that took me to the Bible school was my dreadlocks. I was worried. I'm like,
there were people who was
of course.
Who had a now. Problem with yeah. the dreadlocks?
I already had so many encounters. Some people saying, no, you need to cut it off. You can't, you know, you can't be a gospel, you know. To my knowledge, I knew it wasn't.
That you were Samson.
Yeah, it's
but
not scripture.
I didn't have I didn't have
God's scripture backup.
So I used to pray and say, God, come up from heaven, talk to me and tell me it is okay. Because then you realize you are seeing now so many kids.
Yeah,
I'm wanting to be artists, and they are all going with dreadlocks, all because of Kobe Bryant or blah, blah, blah. And now some start coming up with other funny styles and all so many other sorts of things because they are using you as their measuring rod.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what if I'm, you know? So my level of knowledge I had then, I felt I needed to expound. I needed to, and again, an opportunity availed itself, and I took it up. I know, to me, I counted credit on my side, because I know so many other people that have been availed by the opportunities, by the chance that I did, and they didn't take it on.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Nandra.
Yeah.
I know you're young in your music career, but
you keep saying that.
Yeah, I keep saying that. because it's there's true. A certain group of people.
Yeah.
I need to emphasize it that you're actually true. Talking to people who haven't started.
Yeah.
And have you already found compromise along the way?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You will find it, especially when you're beginning out, especially in this generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. That's one thing I bless the Lord for.
Yeah.
That you're not in this generation.
When we started out, I'm like, Banang, how are we going to raise kids in this generation? Back then, it was way much easier. They refused you to perform. There were not so many places to sing.
To sing.
There was no TikTok. Back when I started my music, there was no YouTube.
Yes.
That was a God-given gift, because that's how I was able to hide my music.
Your music.
From my parents for that long. Because once it hit YouTube, the cut was out
you
of the
can't hide. Yeah.
But the generation now is like there's so many
so many things.
Yeah, like your control is so limited now. So I bless the Lord that maybe some of us when we were and you know that's why I keep saying that, you know, I always say, you know, where the Bible says like God cannot give you more than you can handle.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew. So that if you were to study music in this generation,
I feel it's for me. I'm going with two things. You see, when you are a lady in a music industry, it's a whole other
experience.
A whole other ballgame.
Give us an insight.
You have to look a certain way. You have to talk a certain way.
Especially when you're talking about love.
A certain way, and especially you're talking about love. So how are we to believe you? How are people supposed to believe you? So you're caught in a place of what am I supposed to do? You need to know your grounds, because now, you see, when a guy is saying about love, or when he goes to studio, or he wants to do a show or sing a song, one or two on a certain show, it's easy for, because he's a man, yeah. It's going to be hard, but it's not going to be harder. But then when it comes to you, a woman, first of all, they're going to first measure your look, like what do you have to say, like who's backing you up,
what are you wearing
like yo, don't bore us.
And you've already gone through some of this,
and I've already gone through it, and you will get it, like when you go through it and then you're like, oh, maybe I can make it a little, my skirt a little bit short. Maybe then they will take me seriously. But then I thank God also for my parents. I grew up with a single mom who was very tough and man. Yeah, there are things you will do, and she's like, no, you're not going to do that. Yeah, and then I thank God for my spiritual father, because he's not going to tell you don't put on a short skirt, but he's going to give you that eye of like, So when you woke up, you just feel like you should just do that. And then I always feel him at the back of my mind, like, yo, if you do this, really, when you go back,
we shall deny you.
So I thank God for the people that are in my life in a way that I know that kind of are my, what's the word? English guy.
Your pillars.
My pillars. So, like, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do that just for me to get somewhere. Yeah. Because the fact, when you talked about values, when you know your values and you know that it's the Lord that sent you, then you know that He will take you at His pace. Because the problem that we do is that we compromise thinking that we are trying to drive things
faster.
Than how the Lord wants to take you, like at His pace. Because sometimes you're like, no, if that chick did this and did this and did this, probably got some naked guy and in a video and then you're thinking, yeah, if I do that, I'm going to get more views and then it's going to move so quickly. But then I'm like, no, I've actually been searching out artists who have made it without the compromise.
Yeah,
it's that.
What did you come up with?
There's this lady. Oh my God, there's this lady that Sarah actually sent me. She sings jazz music, yeah, and she won a Grammy. Mm. And man, I've never seen a covered up artist like that. And she won a Grammy, yeah. And I'm like, this chick stuck to her roots. Yeah. And then the fact that she does jazz music that is not even heard of in this generation,
yeah.
where you just grew up and I'm like, you're very stable in a world where pop music is everything,
yeah?
Where pop music is selling, like, yo, if you don't do pop, we don't know what you're doing.
Mm.
And then someone's like, no, I'll do my jazz music and I'll put on my clothes and I'll look how I want, and I'm not gonna do BBLs for you guys to see that I'm all shaped up. No, I'm just going to look how I want. And then for some reason, she won a Grammy.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, I'm going to shoot two questions here.
Yeah.
Because you raised up the issue of likes.
Mm. Yeah.
And I like the issue of likes.
Likes and views.
Likes and views. Yeah. Likes and views. I actually also just released a piece on that on my own platform because of the same kind of interest, you know, the attention to it. In terms of likes and views, when you guys are releasing music, and this is to both of you, is it the thing that you are aiming for? And when you don't get views or likes, the way that, for example, when you're in the studio, you feel like this is the jam. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the people around you tell you, boss, that's it. Like, this is the one where you're going to break through.
Yeah.
And then you release it,
and
the likes are not adding up. And the views don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? How do you guys relate with that kind of feedback to, you know, get the extra energy to keep moving on?
Well, for me, I would say, first of all, we are very lucky, like I said.
Mm.
when we started music,
things were not like the weather.
About
yeah.
Mm. But this is something that people need to take in.
Mm.
The Bible somewhere talks about not lighting your light and then covering it with a cup.
Mm.
When you do a song, you want as many people,
correct,
to listen to it,
correct,
to get the message you're passing out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where the word compromise comes in from.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in, and this is where people have to be very careful. See, I will do a song. Everybody, I don't think there is a person who says, I want to record this song and I listen to it myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things, just by the knowledge of the sphere you're in, you know, that if I'm to be, I want to win premiership, I need to do this and this and this. I need to have either good strike. You look at your team and you know, okay, we are lacking strikers. So maybe I need to buy more strikers. Same thing with the music. When you're putting out a song, you look out for those things that are driving the message. And I'll give an example right now. Right now, in Africa, called? Afrobeat? Afrobeat is driving everything.
Yeah.
Some time back, we had the Lingala, the Congolese.
There was a time for Jamaicans.
Yeah, time back, we had the Jamaicans. Yeah. That was our generation. Everybody was Jamaican.
Washroom, my man.
It's how we ended up with the names like Kopi Black. You know? But if one of all, like, the vehicles you are using, because that's the target. You want it to reach out to so many people.
Yeah.
If the vehicle you are using does not lead to compromise, that's okay. But now I want you to get. I don't know how I can try and elaborate this. Sometimes you may have a vehicle that you can drive from Kampala, let's say from home to the city center. But along the road, you know, I need fuel. I need good tires, and I need the engine working. Those are three.
That's it.
Now, this is where the tricky compromising situation start coming in. Now you need to have, let's say there are traffic officers on the road. You either need to have a good, an authentic driver's permit or whatever those stickers are, the tax stickers.
Third parties,
the licenses and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You either have them, or if you don't have them because of so many other reasons that can lead you not to be having them, you're going to have to pay bribes. You get it? Mm-hmm. Or you're going to have to print fake ones, because your biggest goal is to leave home to get to the city center.
Yeah.
So same thing with the music. Sometimes you realize, well, I have the beat, I have the message, like Nandra said. Well, I can dance. Dancing is not the problem. How you dance
is the problem.
So even with the music, the message is okay, but how you deliver it. Because people will tell you now, we want you to, you know, yes, you can dance, but we want you to dance like this.
Yes.
You get it. So you end up realizing that along the way, there are so many things that what I call ad-libs that may not go in hand, or that may not walk straight with your principles or your values. But because you are dying to get your message out there, you start saying, anyway, I will not stand here and say I have never bribed a traffic office. I do that. God forgive us. Like, that's the thing. In Uganda, you actually, it needs you to sit back and realize what I'm doing is actually sin. Because in our,
it's an option.
You feel like you're actually just blessing the officer. But realistically, it is a sin.
It's corruption.
So how do you guys, how do you handle that that pressure?
And now that's what I'm trying to say again. Like, do you see, like, how I've said that even me, a Christian gospel artist and blah blah blah. I sometimes catch myself driving over a few meters and say, I've actually just given in a bribe. I could have said no, but in that moment, you don't realize. You're like, I need to get there. So officer, you know. So even in the music, sometimes that happens, and you're like, no. Anyway, it's not, as long as it doesn't distort the message. So to me, those are the hard lines, the blurry lines that people have to watch out for, more so for Christian artists. Because like I said in the beginning, the devil has corrupted the system so much that you will not get there if you don't do blah, 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 blah. So it takes you having that knowledge and understanding and being at peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that lady you said, I really need to know her. Who won a Grammy without, you know,
compromising
and stuff. But out of 100, how many are there?
Yeah.
You realize. So somebody will sit down and do the mathematics and say, she was the only one in like 40 years. That means, am I willing to wait for 40 years?
Yeah.
So definitely there is no way I have to compromise. Mm. You get it? So it takes a level of maturity, a level of knowledge and understanding, because let's face it doesn't matter how good your message is. It doesn't matter how beautiful, how sweet, how delicious the food is. If you deliver that food on a dirty plate, that food is not clean.
You know, I was telling a few people that even when you go, like, it's similar, the acting world, both of them are entertaining. Exactly. Movie world.
Yeah.
They're actors. Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Set grounds from day one. I don't kiss in movies.
Yeah, I don't kiss any other woman who's not my wife.
Yeah, who's not my wife. Eh? Mm. Okay. The Rock.
Yeah, true.
Set the same standards.
Yeah.
Okay. And that here we hear some Christians saying, listen, if you want to make it big,
you have to.
Yeah? You have to compromise.
And that's the thing. Oh, man. Thank you for bringing that up. Because sometimes it's those things. Because, like, you have to reach a time where you realize, because the world makes it look, hey, it's just acting. Yeah. Mm. You know, even my wife knows it's just acting.
Come on.
But where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Just acting. It's the same thing with the music. Like, it's just music, and it's just, but you need, see, the devil likes that. The devil thrives where there are blurry lines. Because for you, you don't know. You don't realize. But just because, you know, sometimes we think it works in our advantage, but it works in his advantage. Because you won't know that you have crossed 1,000 miles to his side yet. Because for you, you would think you are still here in the no man's zone. You know? Kumbe, what are they order?
At a certain point, you'll have to do collabos.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that's when we shall
know. we shall know.
No, when it comes to collabos, you see, recently I think I love the fact that I'm also just starting out, because if I had added on to that song that I've told you that will never see the light of day in 2010, then I think I would you'd miss me with BBLs if I had released music then.
Yeah.
But then I just love the fact that I'm starting out now, because now I think I'm wiser, and then I think there are things that
you're grounded in the word.
I'm grounded in the word. Yeah, like there are things that when he talked about likes and views. I remember when I released my first song, I Feel This Too. And the people who listened to it, they were like, yo, this song, man, you need a video. Yeah. So I was like, yes, I need. I remember even I came to your place, I told you, Baba, I need a video. So I was
watching. The masters have spoken. We need a video.
So I was looking for money, but I knew that if I have to shoot a video, then I have to put money for promotion, then I have to. So I kept on. Being on pressure, and then I go talk to my spiritual father, and he tells me, "Hey, Sandra." He sat me down and told me, "See, Sandra, do not be in a rush to get views and likes or to be known by the world, because the Lord who has sent you is sure going to make it happen. And also, you have one of the greatest gifts in the world, which is music, and art doesn't rot."
Yeah,
that's nice. Say that again.
He said, art doesn't rot.
Yeah.
You're in a hurry to make a video so that you're known. But the thing is, right now, you're trying to move
ahead
of yourself. So if you don't have the money, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He's like, relax. If you don't have the money, then relax. The God who sent you, if he hasn't brought it yet, he has his reasons.
Yeah.
So sit down and relax. Go record another song. And another. The day you get money for a video, and let me see, someone just discovers it.
Yeah.
And he says, and it hits. Then they will look for all the other songs that you have.
Just like he said.
Yeah. So he said, do not be in a rush for likes and views. Because as true, if the Lord has said, it is so going to happen. So, I don't know. That statement up to now, still... I thank the Lord for that.
You brought in an interesting this thing. I'm glad you brought it in. Money. You know, because you've been in this.
Yeah.
I've been there. First of all,
do we get the money?
How do you make the money in music? But even before that, like, did you get people to support you to put out your music out there? Because it costs money to make music. Tell us how you've done it. What's your secret code?
So, starting out, I started off by selling my clothes, like I said, my parents. My parents were.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, UK.
Yeah.
So my dad never came back for over like 10 years, 11 years, that guy. May God bless him. I don't know how he did that. My mom used to come back every year. And she used to bring me, you know, some good clothes. So remember I told you I was trying to make sure they never find out. Because I knew if they found out, they would say, you don't do it. Mm. You can't keep doing, stop doing music. And I grew up being a very...
Rebellious.
No, not obedient. Very rebellious. Actually, to my parents, I was very,
very, very obedient. Yeah, okay.
So anything I knew they wouldn't want me to do, I made sure they never tell me, don't do it. So I hid or avoided, or you get it.
Yeah.
So I used to sell my clothes at school, save money, come back in holidays, go to studio, record the song, and the song is out. And I did that for almost like 4 years by the time they figured out. And they were a bit disappointed.
And it was cheaper then than it is now.
Yeah.
My first song cost me 70,000
shillings. Imagine.
Yeah.
Do you know what we are going through nowadays?
That was Dream Studios. So the issue is, right now, Nandra has mentioned something that I actually go by. If God sends you on a mission, he'll give you the provision.
Yes.
And that takes still a little bit of maturity for you to understand. You know, there is understanding, knowing, and then accepting. There is knowing it. It's very easier. Way easier said than done.
Yeah.
Ah, you're looking for money for video. Don't worry. God will provide. You sit down and wait on
faith
God.
Without action.
Like, what are you talking about? I wait on God till when? The song is going. People are loving the song. You know? So, it takes a lot of maturity to understand that.
Yeah.
And I have testimonies in my life that I have seen that happened to me, where I know that me having this particular thing, even if I add up all the money I've made from my music shows, I would never have saved up enough money to buy this.
Yeah,
you get it.
Yeah, on, yeah, yeah, I understand.
Come
yeah.
On, come on. Umbe
God brought it through some particular person you didn't even know. Who is not even worried about music, and I've told people that those many testimonies. I'll give. Now let me give it here. Try and cut it short. I bought my first car around 2014, I think. Now, these are things people need to know.
Yeah.
I've said I had a breakthrough in 2010. And I had the big songs that were winning Artists of the Year and blah, blah, blah.
But you bought your first car in 2014.
I think 2014 or... Yeah. 2014 or 13. So, the issue is... As the music grows so big, and that's something I've traveled all around the world, and people keep asking, how can you be that big and you're not that rich? People don't understand how, you know,
material.
It has something to do with the copyright here in Uganda and stuff. Yeah. That you can have a big charting song that is winning awards, it's playing everywhere, and you're still very broke. You understand? So, I had been doing that, like I had lived through that, but I had already made a promise to myself, I'm never going to compromise just because I want a car. And there were so many ways that, and so many people that would have bought me cars by just a simple, anyway. So, the thing is, I give this testimony, anyway, I had my car, so then it wasn't such a big thing. I remember, I always keep telling people, at one time, I prayed to God when I was riding around on borders, and I said, God, even if you give me a car, I don't care whether it has 3 tires or what. And back then I was praying at these tukutukus hadn't come so much.
Yeah.
Now when I see them, I'm like, my God.
God,
I
don't know what
that could have been your answer prayer.
So anyway, but I was that desperate that I didn't want. And I remember one time a friend of mine is also a producer, it's called Vad. He had a friend who like lent him his car, and we were driving around, and you had to put all the windows down so people can see you in that car. And you know, and the car didn't even have one of the windows. It had so many messed up things. But because we were inside the car, you were feeling like you have achieved everything.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I'm trying to show you how desperate we were for cars. And around 2018, I think, I happened to meet a group of people. The guy was actually Jewish, very old, about 8 years. He comes, they had come to look at the organization and the work we do. And he's in studio and I see he's very excited. I didn't know anything about this guy. And he's like, yeah. So I'm most shocked about an 84-year-old man making the trip to Uganda.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you handling this? I've never been to a studio before, so I'm showing him the studio. I'm like, yeah, you want to record something as a gift to you? You record a song, and I will record a song for you. I will record it and, you know, bring it to you, and as a gift for me, for you having made the trip, you know. And how can you be that old and you have never been to a music studio? So, anyway, it's short. Long story short, I didn't know any background about this guy, and he keeps repeating some lines and I don't know what they mean. So I ask his friends and he says, yeah, it's the theme song for my club, for my football club that I support. So in Australia, there is a kind of football they play. It's only in Australia. It's called Australian football. It's a mixture of rugby and soccer, kind of. So it's a bit there. So I, of course, being Ugandan, That game is only played in Australia, so nobody else knows it. So and it is so big there that you don't actually know. Like, it's way more popular there. You can go to Australia and you ask people about Messi and they have never heard of him. But yeah, they know all the players who play that game. You understand? So anyway, and I like the guy. I looked up the song. I redid the song. I did like African beats on it, and you know, and he gave the guy the song. He went back. All done. Within a few minutes, I'm starting to hear. I'm getting calls. The song I did, I didn't even know the club. Like I said, I don't know about that sport. So I basically just looked up the anthem and redid the song. You know, just to make him happy, because it was the only song he knew in his head. So that shows you how staunch of a fan he was. Anyway, so before I know, the song is becoming big in Australia and blah 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 blah, and you know, it's here all now. They start sending me newspaper articles. Oh, Ugandan rapper, nice. Ugandan, you know. Then the guy asks, can you, before it became big, he says, can you do a small video for me about this song?
Wow.
So we actually did, we didn't have money to be fair. And I'm like, why am I spending money on a song that's going nowhere? I had like a GoPro. So we used the GoPro and we just shot the video outside like the gate of the office.
Yeah.
And we use some ghetto kids and blah, 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 blah. And up to now, it is one of my biggest projects. The way it went viral in Australia. And I keep hitting myself on the head and I'm saying, how I wish I knew this song was going to go this big. I would have done
put in excellent
very good video. But then again, I remind myself, maybe the reason it traveled is because of that.
Yes. You know?
So anyway, the song goes so big. This guy, the club flies me over. I go, I sing in the stadium.
Wow.
And the club, of course, are saying they want to pay me. People, fans of the club, are saying we want our... Because you must realize the theme, the anthem of that club, the original song that they still have, was composed in 1880s, some, you know, so many years back. It hasn't changed up to now. Of course, now this one is more swaggerific. It has more a bit vibes. You know, it's more youthful. So everybody's saying that's the song we want.
Yeah, they can vibe with it.
You know? And the guys are like, oh, what can we do for you? They supported the organization. Can you know? And they were supposed to give me some very good money. And anyway, again,
your history caught
because of my because of my history and the kind of music I do, me being a gospel artist. And anyway, some politics came in. And some people, anyway, I don't want to get into that. And this guy felt bad. It's only now that it gets to me that he's actually a very wealthy man. He's one of like the top 8 guys of the club. The top 8 is in a position like the top 8. And they say for you to join that top 8, you don't join. Once you're in, you're in it for life. So until somebody passes away, then an opening is up for another person. Actually, that gentleman passed away during COVID. He was called David. But anyway, David says, you know what? I remember being with you in Uganda, and one of the hustles I saw you with was your van. He was saying it was a hustle. That red car was a big blessing to me and the whole industry. We used to call it Noah's Ark.
Yes, sir.
When we were going for shows, it just goes and parks there. and it says we are not leaving anybody behind. If you have to sit on your friend's head, you sit there. You get what I mean? And it was like, but for him, yeah, he had seen it. It was like,
yeah,
it had some mechanical issues and stuff. But anyway, and the guy decides to buy me a car. It's not the best car anyway. He had given me a blank check. This is what I want to say. Until he realized how expensive cars are in Uganda. And you know, anyway, he got me the car I have, the Pajero.
Nice.
And I keep telling people, if I'm to add up all the money I have made from music, like shows,
yeah,
you know, I could not have bought that car. It would have, even if I made that money and I had that money cash, I still couldn't have invested it in a car.
Mm.
Because yeah, I had so many more important things. You get what I mean? So
destiny help us.
The issue was, the thing I underlooked, like this song.
Yeah.
Is the one that God used.
God knew I needed that car. And it came from something that is not what...
what was planned.
It was what,
planned.
What I thought, imagine, where I thought it should. Because a friend of mine told me, you know, when the Bible says, you reap what you sow, most of us tend to think it says... reap where you sow. Mm. And unfortunately, most of us gospel artists, that's how we think.
Yeah.
I have invested 10 million in this music video. When you don't see yourself earning the 10 million back directly from music, from music shows, and music views and subscriptions, you're like, it's a loss.
Mm.
But you have sowed, and God will look through what you have sowed.
The content.
And he will grant you your...
What a fantastic answer.
Man, okay. That's amazing. But, you know, very many people didn't know this story of the Australian thing.
Yeah, because for me, the thing... But I've told it to so many artists because they keep asking. And to me, like, that thing made me relax so much on the ask chasing by our
own strength.
Or we need to build a house. And to be realistic with the way the gospel music is going here in Uganda, once you start thinking about those things, you are definitely going to give up.
That's true.
Going to give up. But when you start hearing people's testimonies of how, this one got blah, 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 blah. A friend, artist of mine, was actually had the concert recently when I had my concert as well. And a pastor just came from nowhere and gave him a car. It is his first car. And it's a beautiful car. And we had heard those stories from the Sekou Martinis, and we had been singing it for years, and no pastor has ever given me a car.
Mm.
So, but you realize now I'm thinking, now pastors will give. Now so many other artists will think, I do a concert, another pastor will give me a car. No.
And if they don't believe, there's a problem.
Yeah, you know, God will bless you through other things. And you know, to me, I have wondered, the car seems like a very minimal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I use it a lot because I know most of the young artists. Like, it's one of the biggest goals.
Yeah.
Because you need to get
around. Of course, because there's nothing more embarrassing than being a star. You have makeup and eyelashes, and then you have to get a border.
You get what I mean.
And your wig is flying.
And yet we know, with the way the expenses of the cars and the taxes here in Uganda, as a gospel artist, you are definitely, I don't want to say you are definitely not going to do it, but anyway, God works in mysterious ways. But it is, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap at all.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Time is flying very fast. We already 1 hour 13 minutes in, but that's really interesting. Okay, that's really interesting. Let me touch something that we grew up hearing a lot in church. Just take the words, don't listen to the voice and whatever and stuff like that. And it's until we became mature and realized, no, that's rubbish. That's not right. And I'm saying that because of what you've said.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow, not where you sow.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? So for me, my question is, like, for you guys, you have this gift. Because the theme of this particular session was giftings. And that's why we're talking about that. In your giftings, you have the voices. You have the artistry, okay? You can put together the words. Your poetry, it's amazing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, your vocals are good. But have you guys grown under certain people? Have you sat at some point, even when you knew you're good and you can do this and you know you can whatever, have you dedicated some time to nurture this gift professionally? Because you know at the end of the day it's going to be what I sow, not just anything being put out there.
He's asking if there's been a mentor of some sort.
Yes, definitely. Personally, I've had so many mentors.
In music,
In music, yes. Mm. I've had so many mentors, but one that I actually sat under and I patiently waited until I grew was, he's called Pastor Denis. I remember I walked into his house, that was 2014, I had gone for sale, and I walk into his house and I see instruments in his garage. So I'm like, what? This is what I've been like dreaming of my life, because I was now out of campus. I'm thinking I need to pursue this music thing, and then I see instruments. I'm like, I'm never leaving this house. So I'm like, who owns these instruments? They tell me it's called Pastor Danny. He leads our worship team. I'm like, okay. So I meet him and I told him, I want you to train me. And I sat under him for a while, and he introduced me to most of the choirs that I've been in, even the one I'm still in right now. So I sat under him, and he told me most of the things. He might not have taken me all through, because he introduced me, and then I took on my own journey. But there are things he used to say that...
So he laid the foundation.
He laid the foundation. Yeah. And then also, I went to music school. Yeah, because he told me he had gone to music school. So I went to music school because I wanted to know more, and I wanted to be a professional artist. I didn't want to be those artists that are just
from the wilderness.
I wanted to understand things, like, you know, like, because up to now, there's when you enter a studio and people just don't know. Yesterday we were in studio and someone didn't know what keys are, you know. And we so have...
Someone working in the studio.
Okay. No, one of the musicians.
The musicians.
Didn't know that... For him, he just listens to music. He doesn't know that there is key A or F or G. And he's like, I don't even know what that is. Me, I just sing. I'm like, okay, wow. Yeah, that's the world of musicians we are living in.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so for me, personally, I've been under mentors. Okay. And then, I went to music school.
What about you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm one of the people who don't know what keys. but still,
you came from the wilderness.
I came from the wilderness, definitely. That's why at the beginning I said, like, I feel like I gambled into it. I have had opportunities to go to music school and I haven't done it. I have my personal reasons. To me, I believe my type of music.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to know.
So many keys. But that is understandable.
Yeah, you get what
it's
I mean.
Very understandable.
And I always keep telling people. That's why, like, people are like us who do, like, you know, the rap, the dance hall. We appreciate people who are vocalists. And
what's your genre of music? What would you.
I would say more of dance hall.
Dance hall, okay.
Yeah. So, to me, I have had mentors. To me, my biggest thing is not the talent that you have. Because to me, I believe talent is unlimited. It is so much
abundant,
out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have seen so many qualified people, overqualified people who have gone to music school and they are doing rubbish.
Mm.
So to me, my biggest thing is, anyway, this is the way I take it. To me, when I listen to a song, the first thing that comes to my mind, that is me. I'm more of a lyricist. So the content matters to me way much more than the beat or the vocals. And again, that is me. Mm. And the style of, like, you know, I always say, like, dancehall artists and rap artists, that's what we look out for. We never say, oh, that's a good beat. Because an artist doesn't get credit for the beat, because you're not the one who did the beat.
Mm. Mm.
You get credit for your content. For the lyrics.
Yeah.
You get it. So, I have invested a lot in that to try and learn more, to try and read more.
Yes. Are there specific people who have...
Yeah, like if you listen to all the people I grew up listening to, I listen to them because of their lyrics.
Who are those? Papa San?
Yeah, the Papa San. Sekou Martin.
Sekou Martin. Yes. Yeah. Sekou is the grandfather in music.
Yeah.
I listened a lot to Lucky Dube. I listened to... Bob Marley. Again, it's because of that reggae and the dancehall vibes. It's very cautious music. I know we have where we disagree with the Rastafarian beliefs, but yeah. they are very, very cautious, very spiritual. Like reggae music is very spiritual music.
Yeah.
Again, it's the kind of music where people concentrate more on the lyrics,
the message,
yeah. message, yeah. Than, yeah. than the vocals and, mm. and stuff. So, to me, I believe that kind of helped shape me a bit. And again, like I'm saying, right now, if you listen to the music that is popular at the moment, you get worried. You know?
And
that's what I'm saying. Like, we were lucky that we came out in a time when this wasn't then. Because back then, like, no reggae artist has ever become popular for having the biggest beat or singing rubbish or anything.
Yeah.
They don't even pay you a, you know, they won't even give you an audience.
Yeah.
No
audience.
But these days, people are getting more attention actually
because of a beat because
from the beat.
Not even the beat, singing nonsense.
Nonsense, yeah.
Ha! Imagine he said that.
You understand? I know.
So people who could sing sense are now lowering themselves down.
The standards, yeah.
So they sing to the standards of what
of
people
the world,
know.
Yeah,
everything just it's like really a quick fix these days.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a fun thing, like fast food, you know, just something for the instant adrenaline rush.
A song that you'll enjoy in the next two minutes.
Yeah, and then
if they play it again for the third time, you say, please.
Yeah.
Yet back then when we were growing up, you listened up to now, like there are songs that a thousand years old and you still think
the song is here. Yeah.
And you listen to it as if it was recorded yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And to me, there is this thing, there's an artist I remember, we used to make fun about him, and they said, one of those rappers who came up with those, I don't want to quote anything, but they were doing that.
Yeah.
You know, even rap music used to be about content.
It was genuine,
used to be about
content.
You know?
And then so these are the new kids come in and it's all about, apparently it got so bad, one artist, Bill Gates, said, how much money do I have to pay you so you never have to sing again? It's that bad.
Anyway,
it's very evident. He was big for like 6 months and blah blah blah.
And that was
he's
it.
Nowhere.
You know, when you pick something from the spirit, it's eternal.
It's eternal, yeah.
Huh? And when you pick something from the flesh, it just and dies out.
Yeah. To me, I believe, and this is why, like you asked some question about gospel music. Yeah. To me, why it is so important and why I've stuck to gospel, because to me, I believe all these giftings and talents are freely given. I can't, like I said, and that's one of the reasons, like I said, why I don't want to stand here and say, oh, I have been to a music school. I up to now, I can play, you know how they say you can play to survive so you don't run hungry?
Yeah.
And I run a music school. And I can't play guitar. Like, I can't say, oh, I can play guitar like fully. I can't play a full song, but I can play a few chords.
And you went to Bible school.
But the issue is, I appreciate the music much more when I know it's basically been lent to me. Like, I don't deserve it. I don't, because sometimes I feel like when you get so cocky, you feel like I own it.
You're attached to it.
I have achieved this. I have done this, and I feel like I can. Yeah, it's my strength. You know, me every day. What keeps me humble is knowing. How did I get to this? I definitely don't deserve this, you know? So that keeps you humble, keeps you grounded, and it keeps you giving all the glory back to the giver.
Wow. Okay. How many minutes do we have?
Nice. 7 minutes.
Okay, 7 minutes. Yeah. I want to ask a question. We won't have time to touch everything, of course, but there are things that you do outside of music.
Yeah.
And at some point you will want to do something beyond the music.
Definitely.
Tell us about Yimba, Uganda, and any other things that you've done that contribute to your call without you necessarily singing.
We run an organization called Yimba Uganda. I'm the team leader there. And it does empowerment to youth. And again, it goes back to my upbringing in the slums. I realized the biggest thing we lack in the ghettos is not skill or talent, it's that training. You know, so most of us, most football players will say, oh, I grew up and I was a good football player in the ghettos without training. And until he gets good training. That's when he makes it to the world stages.
The big leagues, yeah.
So, same thing with me. I know we have a lot of talent in the slums, a lot of skills, God-given skills that we need to maybe sharpen a bit. And when I was growing up, again, like I said, once I made it through the music industry, that became like a big point for me, because everybody I still have family and cousins and aunties still living in Katwe, you know. So everybody's looking at you because they think you have made it, you know. Oh, your song is playing on TV. Oh, you must have made it. Oh, we saw you at this show. You must have so much money. And you realize you don't, and you can't help out as much as you need. So the biggest thing was always to give back to the community. And we started, you know, by doing free shows and giving out food and giving out clothes, but those are not sustainable. So we changed the model to a more sustainable
approach.
Teaching them how to fish.
Yes. Yeah. So right now we run Nyimba Uganda, and it does, our target is for more sustainable income generating skills. So we do tailoring, fashion and design. We do the music mentorship program. We do the beauty, hair and beauty, and we do set up goat farms.
That's amazing.
A place called Wairaka. Nice. So, and it's grown since 2013. I bless the Lord for having given me a wife that shared in my dream.
Yeah.
And had a similar educational background. This is one thing I always tell kids to go to school. When I was at university studying what I'm doing now, I never thought I would do it.
Yes.
I was basically saying, just what Nandra said, let me get this degree and I give it to my MJ. He gets happy. But now I've seen how much my education has really contributed to the growth of this organization.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that since 2013. Every year we graduate over 50 students through these skills of hair and beauty. And recent, God has blessed us with a huge chunk of land, about 20 acres of land in Kayunga along the River Nile. Nice. And that's where we're planning to put like the big vocational school. And of course, we are being limited because of the space with these skills, of course, but with the other big place, we are going to add so many skillings, you know, carpentry, metalworks, construction, mechanics, electricals. And so we bless the Lord for that. Wow. It's still a big way to go.
Yeah.
But we bless the Lord. We have already started.
Yeah.
The first structure is actually being put up right now, and we bless the Lord for that.
Wow. Amen. Amazing. And what about you, Sandra? Anything beyond music that you're looking at?
Yeah, definitely. Personally, I went venturing to movies.
You want to movie making or acting?
No, acting.
Okay.
Acting, definitely. Then
why am I laughing?
Why are you laughing?
I'm remembering your question
of the kissing. I know, that's when you pull out this couple guys, you're like, you see what you. But no, movie acting is definitely one of the things that I want to do, and then radio presenting and TV presenting is one of my dreams. And then you see, that's the problem. That's why I'm called the king of entertainment.
There's so much.
There's so much
there.
That I feel like. Yeah. Nice. So,
Maki, do you have anything final?
Yeah, just in final closing, I think I'll just give the opportunity to the two artists in the house. If you guys have any projects that you're working on now, and because this is a platform, the idea is, you know, for us to all together build the kingdom. So if you have any if you have any projects that are upcoming, and where can people access them, like for you and her? Where can people access your music and stuff like that? You know, just in closing.
Yeah, well, it's Kupi Bly everywhere. So all digital music platforms.
Yeah.
Spotify, any digital music platform, the music is there. So please go look it up. I keep putting so much music there. Our latest album is still Action Talk. We are working on the next album coming up very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so please keep your ears
and
eyes glued.
Yeah,
but frankly, I have no complaints. I just bless the Lord for having given me the grace to do what I do and the grace to stick in there, you know. But also the biggest thing is I bless the Lord for having given me the understanding to do what I do with peace, knowing and appreciating the impact it has, the impact does, but also to know, the peace of not struggling and, oh, I need to do this. But, you know, I know it's not me, it's him that leads. Mm. And if he hasn't given me a private jet yet, maybe he realizes
in his own time,
I don't need the private jet yet. Mm. But when he needs me to leave to fly from here to go to South Korea and preach in the next 2 hours, I'm sure the private jet will come.
It's a beautiful mindset, man.
What about you?
I'm Nandra, and I'm releasing my song very soon, my baby that has been in the studio, and I love that song so much. It's
where can people find it?
But anyway, you can find it on all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
My music is mostly on YouTube. Yeah, there's some on the streaming platforms as Spotify, Reverb Nation, Boomplay.
We're going to show these links.
That'll be right.
Yeah, then you can also actually just for Instagram, Facebook. It's all Nandra UG, Nandra 256.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so as we conclude, thank you so much for coming, both of you. I know 1 hour and a half runs by. We didn't touch everything.
So quickly.
Kupi, thank you for taking your time off.
This is all right.
Coming.
Fine.
We'll have you again some other time. When you have your private jet, I hope.
We can have a podcast.
Maybe we can have it in the private jet.
In the private jet.
Yes. But one thing I love about specifically, Kupi, since you've been, like I said, there are many people who shout, I'm a gospel artist, but you've told your line.
Yeah.
Huh?
Action.
And you're a man of the word as well.
Yeah.
You know your scriptures and so on. And may God bless you and increase you. Mm-hmm. And as for you, Sandra, may you be the line, the standard. We pray that you don't kiss. Anyway, we're going to say God bless you. Afimani, thank you so much for hosting.
Yes.
God bless you and see you next time.